The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So just a warm welcome for everybody. And today I wanted to talk a little bit about how loving kindness adds, or this loving kindness practice specifically. It's a way in which can help bring a certain amount of calm, a certain amount of collectedness, a certain amount of steadiness, a certain amount of non-agitation. Really, like, you know, all meditation practices. But there's a way in which just to recognize that having some degree of calm or collectedness, or sometimes in the Buddhist literature, there's this expression, unification of mind. Some ways that I kind of understand that as like non-distractedness, right? So it's not like we're thinking all these other places, but there's a way in which all the little mental streams kind of come together and get united. But having this experience, whether it's a little bit or a lot, can really enhance our lives. And maybe you don't need me to tell you this, but it's a way in which helps us to realize that there's more than one way to be to show up or to be in the world, to recognize, yeah, it is possible to have some calm, to have some collectedness, and that there's, with that is a sense of well-being often. It goes with that. They can go together often, this collectedness and a sense of well-being. And to appreciate this, that we can cultivate this, we can practice with it in a way that it really supports our life, supports whatever is unfolding. But sometimes we might have this idea that it's binary, like I'm either collected or I'm distracted. Like those are only the two choices. But in fact, it's a giant spectrum. So, and there's always this, you know, this potential for a movement towards a little bit more calm, but also a movement towards more agitation, right? But just to appreciate whenever there's a little bit of a shift towards more calm. So there's sometimes we might be dismissive of when there's these small incremental shifts in which there's more calmness or more collectedness. We might just notice the agitation or distractedness. But the encouragement here is to instead notice, oh yeah, there is a little bit more settledness happening. So rather than having this idea, am I calm yet? You know, that kind of a feeling of checking in that has implicit in it a little bit like dismissive of wherever I am now, I have to be somewhere else. Instead, can we just notice that the mind has this capacity to move? Of course it does, but to move back and forth between calm, collected, agitated, uncollected. And it's just, we're just practice as a way of taking care of our hearts, taking care of our minds in a way of just allowing the shift towards more collectedness, because this is where there's more well-being. And with that well-being is where we have access to greater wisdom. And that well-being is where we have access to easier access, I should say. It's not the only way we have access, but it's a little bit easier. I think all of us know this, right? It's easier to be open-hearted or warm-hearted when we're not agitated, right? When we have a sense of ease. So loving kindness practice, as I said at the beginning, is really a way which can help develop this sense of collectedness. I'm often teaching it by using phrases that have a certain rhythm. And there's a way in which this rhythm can support a settling down, a quieting. But it's whether you're using the phrases or whether you're tuning into the felt sense of loving kindness, goodwill, care, and you're tuning into the maybe there's some spaciousness or warmth, that's another way in which the mind can get settled, is just to be tuning into that experience. Or maybe there's a way in which with the practice you're visualizing to whom you're sending the loving kindness. And maybe the activity of visualizing gives the mind something to do that allows it to get collected or settled in that way. So whether you're doing the phrases, whether you're tuning in to the physical or sensations of loving kindness, or whether you're visualizing to whom you're sending loving kindness, or maybe a fourth way is whether you're just radiating loving kindness. Any of those ways, all of those ways, can be a great support for the mind to get settled, get quiet, get concentrated, get focused. And again, just a reminder that we can do a disservice to ourselves if we are thinking in terms of this binary, am I concentrated, yes or no? That's really not helpful. Just to notice, oh yeah, okay, it's a little bit more settled now. Maybe a little bit more agitated, a little bit more settled. Just to notice the shifting, the settling. And to appreciate it when it goes towards more calmness. So loving kindness practice as a support for collectedness, as a support for well-being. These go together, collectedness and well-being. Okay, so maybe with that as an introduction, we will do some meditation. So taking a posture that feels supportive, comfortable, and as well as having some uprightness. And to sit and know you're sitting. Arriving into this moment. Arriving into this body. Maybe doing a little bit of a body scan, checking in with the face, places where we often are hold tension around the eyes, the jaw. The neck. Maybe moving a little bit if it feels like it would help bring some space. The shoulders. It might be that during the day the shoulders are up closer to the ears. Can we let them be far away from the ears? Feeling into the back. The chest. The belly. Letting the belly relax. right arm and hand. The left arm and hand. Feeling the pressure of the chair or cushion against the body, where we're sitting. Feeling the right leg. And right foot. Left leg. And left foot. And letting the tension rest on the sensations of breathing. To support our collectedness, letting the mind get collected on the sensations of breathing. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, we'll begin where it's easy. Bringing to mind a lovable being. Connecting with this lovable being, whether it's somebody you know, it's a pet maybe, somebody you know about, somebody who has touched your life, but you don't have a relationship with them necessarily. And then to support our intention of cultivating loving kindness and collectedness, we can say these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. allowing the mind to settle without forcing it. Maybe the phrases coincide with the exhale. Perhaps feeling the exhale with the phrases as a way to have the mind and the body collected in some kind of way. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then to extend loving kindness to ourselves. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Maybe like some at the end of the day, we put our rest our head on a pillow. Is there a way in which we can rest the mind on these phrases? Just allowing them to gently land. And appreciating any sense of collectedness, any increased calmness, however slight it might be. when we get lost in thoughts. No need to make it a problem. We just very simply begin again. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then expanding our circle of loving kindness. And we extend it to somebody we don't know. Somebody that's perhaps in the Zoom call, somebody that you perhaps see in the neighborhood. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. Maybe there's some other phrases that resonate better for you. You're welcome to modify them. appreciating if the mind and or the body is feeling a little more settled. No guarantees, of course. Perfectly fine if it isn't. But if it is, can we just acknowledge and appreciate the sense of ease that often accompanies settledness? And then to expand our loving kindness to even somebody that's a little bit bothersome for us, a bit troubling, not the most difficult person. And for this person, it might be easier to use a different phrase. You can try it on and see how it feels. Bringing to mind the mildly bothersome person. May you understand the causes for true happiness and be willing and able to act on those causes. May you understand the causes for true happiness and be willing and able to act on those causes. May you understand the causes for true happiness and be willing and able to act on those causes. Maybe there's a quieting, a softening of the phrases, and instead just tuning into the sense of radiating goodwill. For some minds, this is easy, straightforward. For some minds, not so much. So without straining, to either stay with the phrases or maybe open up to just radiating. With this idea of loving kindness practice as a way to support some calmness or collectedness with our, that can support our life, as well as with, in particular with loving kindness practice, it's a calmness that maybe has a quality, a feeling of warmth, as opposed to something that feels brittle and fragile and that we have to really protect and shove everything away. Kind of having, doing this with loving kindness allows it to be a little bit more inclusive and like, okay, yeah, this can be invited too. So it can be helpful to talk with others about this, experience this whole idea of course, the value of calmness, but also the value of not feeling like it's a binary, either I'm collected or I'm not, but just that, you know, we move back and forth across a spectrum, and to appreciate any movements that go towards greater calmness. So I'd like to put you into groups of three or four. You can have an opportunity to talk about this. And maybe be in a group for 14 minutes. And there's it can be helpful if just one, the first person goes, and then it goes to the second person, and then it goes to the third. But just saying one point, and then one person, one, two, three, then it comes back around to person one, two, three. And that way you can be influenced by what you hear by others and from others. And there's a way in which you can create something together. It also kind of evens the playing field a little bit between the introverts and the extroverts. And so let's go in the order of the last digit of your phone number. So we'll go into numerical order that way. Okay, here we go. Okay, welcome back, welcome back. Does anybody have a question or a comment or something they'd like to share? Yes, Jesse.
Yeah, thanks. I really appreciate this practice today. And it brought up a question, kind of a very general question I had about loving kindness for the self. So I enjoy using the phrases, may I be safe, may I be happy. I'm just wondering if you could comment on visualizations to use with those phrases, because I often find images coming into my mind and I want to bring my mind back to some type of loving kindness for the self visualization, but I'm not really sure what to use.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesse. That's a good question. Yeah. Often it's people, especially for them, for loving kindness for the self, they will bring to mind either like a photograph or something in their mind that they've seen of themselves that makes them happy. So maybe it's a happy occasion. Maybe it's when they're a child, you know, or maybe it's, you know, contemporary wedding picture or something like this. Or rather than visualization, for some people, they will, for loving kindness for themselves, they will tune into like just the felt experience of this moment. Often like the pressure of the chair, the cushion against the body could be one way to, oh, this is what it feels like right now to be here, to be with this body here. Is that helpful, Jesse?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Abraham.
Hi. I really liked the new phrase for the difficult person. And the reason I liked it is it doesn't sound very noble, but let me explain. So I started off with a person who wasn't very difficult, and so that was fine. But then I said, okay, I'll go to the one who's difficult for me, my dukkha person. And so I noticed as I started connecting that phrase was that I had a very judgmental attitude. It was like, may you finally figure out the causes of true happiness. And, you know, I hope you have the wherewithal and the grit and determination to bear with it. And, you know, and I'm going like, oh, isn't that interesting, Abraham? And so when I kept working with it, I mean, that dropped away. So it was good for me. It was good for me for a practice too, because then when I got into it with that person, I had to take it apart, and I had to, you know, truly wish that they understood what that was, because I see how they're suffering because their life is in many ways a mess. And I'm not trying to be judgmental. There's a lot of struggle there. So So it made me tender toward them in a different way, and also tender toward myself, because I have to go through that process then too. I have to also contemplate, what are the causes of true happiness? And, you know, what do I have to do for that? So I really thought that was a neat new way of looking at that. So thank you.
Great, great. Thank you, Abraham. Yeah, yeah. That phrase comes from Tanisiro Bhikkhu, and I thought it was a nice way. And one word that he uses is, he says, it allows people to not be hypocritical for, like, sometimes difficult people. You can more sincerely wish, may you understand the causes of true happiness, as opposed to may you be happy. Sometimes that doesn't work so well for difficult people. So I kind of appreciated that. So kind of exploring this one set of phrases for the lovable being and for ourselves, and another set of phrases for a difficult person. But, you know, maybe we don't need to have different phrases. Maybe sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. It's nice maybe to explore this a little bit. Yes, Bob.
I sometimes put myself into the role of the difficult person.
Fantastic.
Because when you think about it, the other people have to find us difficult as well. I'm sure that I am not the easiest person to get along with. And so it's kind of a, you know, the meta for the self, or loving kindness towards the self. It needs to be very genuine, and it can only be genuine when you recognize your commonality with other people, I think, that you have something very much in common with them, and that is being difficult at times.
Yeah, right? Yeah, of course. We're none of us are perfect. And, you know, your comment about having to be genuine, yeah, there's different schools of thought on this. Sometimes it says that maybe it's helpful just to have this intention, and maybe it feels dry and formulaic, but we keep showing up. So not in a way in which we are forcing ourselves, but we're showing up with a willingness to have goodwill for those people for whom it's difficult, including ourselves sometimes perhaps. So that's one school of thought. Another school of thought is like, no, we should pause for whichever category it's able to come up. For example, the lovable being, and just stay there, and then move on to the next category, perhaps ourselves. And if we discover that it's has diminished, to go back to the lovable being, to kind of like get re-energized with loving kindness. So this is something that we can explore for ourselves, whether I will say there's value in both ways. And because if we feel like we always have to be feeling loving kindness, then we get stuck, because let's be face it, sometimes we just don't feel it. So I just want us to open up the possibilities of the different ways in which practice can unfold for all of us.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome, Bob. I see that we're a few minutes afterwards, but I'm happy to stay if others are happy to stay. And oh, Claire did have her hand up, but now it went down. Okay. So maybe we'll end here then. So with warm wishes for you all, let's unmute and we can say goodbye in a raucous way. So goodbye. Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Thanks for being here.
Bye, Marie-Christine.
Thank you, Diana.
Thank you.
Take good care of yourselves.
Jerry, everybody. You're here.
I'm back again from Toronto.
Bye-bye. Fred.
I can't leave.
Goodbye. Thank you, Diana.
You're welcome, Brenda. Hi, Trudy. Bye, Trudy.